Byrne and a group of 20 volunteers from the 2nd Platoon squads were currently holed up at Utgard's reactor complex, guarding Loki's data center. Jotuns had carefully unearthed the driver's magnetic acceleration coils while the alien warship was busy burning Gladsheim, and Loki had adjusted the driver's gimbal so it was aimed at Utgard's skyline. Once the mass driver fired, the Oni PSI assumed the aliens would identify its power source and launch a retaliatory strike. It was up to Byrne to make sure they didn't succeed, to keep Loki's data center safe until the evacuation was complete. At the 5-minute mark, Avery's grease bucket jerked as its maglev pads pulled from the strand and its brake wheels engaged, slowing the bucket's progress. The transition was enough to rouse Forsell, and as the recruit blinked away his slumber, Avery motioned for him to tap Jenkins' shoulder, pass the wake-up signal around the bucket. One by one, the recruits revived, retrieved their MA-5s where they had fallen to the rubberized floor, and checked their ammunition. "Loki just increased the intervals. 7 minutes between boxes," Jalon's tired voice crackled in Avery's helmet. "We'll have to hold out a little longer than we planned." Avery did a quick calculation. By now there would be upwards of 50 containers on the strands. Their combined weight must have put too much drag on the tiara. If it drifted too far from its geosynchronous position, Harvest's rotation would yank it from the sky, wrapping the strands around the equator like threads around a spool.
"Everyone listen up," Avery barked. "Watch your teammates. Check your corners. Tiara's got limited power. Targets will be hard to spot."
Avery had run the militiamen through the assault plan multiple times. Both teams would clear their coupling stations, then press out and secure the far ends of the tiara. Once that was done, they would drive any surviving aliens back toward the center, trap them around the number 4 station, and wipe them out.
"We'll meet you in the middle," Jalon said. "And Johnson?"
"Ma'am?"
"Good luck."
Avery unclipped his seatbelt and rose to his feet. Through the interior windows, he could see the rate of the cable's passage slow, revealing a herringbone pattern in the strand's carbon nanofiber construction. The bucket came to such a smooth stop, so unlike the jarring airborne insertions Avery had experienced time and time again on other missions, that he worried his groggy recruits might not get the adrenaline surge they needed.
"First platoon," he bellowed. "Ready weapons and stand to."
Forsell, Jenkins, and the others pulled their MA-5's charging handles and thumbed the rifle's fire selection switches to full automatic. As they stood, these sons of Harvest met their staff sergeant's steely gaze with equal resolution, and Avery realized he had underestimated his recruits' preparedness. "They're ready," he thought. "Now I want them to remember."
"Look at the man beside you," Avery said. "He is your brother. He holds your life in his hands, and you hold his. You will not give up. You will not stop moving forward."
The bucket swayed against the cable as the gantry sealed over its hatch. The recruits stacked close together to Avery's left and right. For the first time, he looked at them and saw them for what they were, heroes in the making. As Avery's eyes came to rest on Jenkins and he plumbed the recruit's hollow stare, he realized his pep talk lacked the most important message of all: hope.
"Every one of these bastards you kill is 1,000 lives saved."
Avery wrapped his left hand around the hatch's release lever and gripped his battle rifle with his right.
"And we will save them, every last one."
He yanked the handle up, swung the hatch open, and charged. His squad roared behind him. The gantry's semi-transparent walls let in more light than had been in the bucket. Avery squinted as he rushed forward, scanning for targets. As the militiamen surged forward behind him, the tube began to bounce, throwing off Avery's aim. Luckily, he didn't see any contacts until he reached the end of the gantry, and the 4 masked creatures running past the airlock weren't in any mood to fight. Their tough gray skin bled blue from a claymore's deadly hail. Avery let them pass, waited to see if they had a rear guard. A moment later, a 5th alien appeared, caught sight of Avery, and raised its explosive cutlass. Avery fired a 3-round burst that caught the creature in its shoulder and spun it around. Before its cutlass clattered to the floor, Avery was inside the tiara proper. He drilled a 2nd burst into the alien's chest, and the creature crumpled. Avery scanned right toward the number one strand and didn't see any stragglers. He scanned left and fired at the closest of the four aliens just now retreating around the corner of the coupling station, clipping it in the knees. The alien fell with a muffled shriek, but just as Avery tensed for a killing burst, Jenkins' BR-55 cracked beside him, and the alien's head disappeared in a bright blue spray. "Hell yeah!" Anderson shouted as he pushed past Jenkins out of the airlock. "Way to shoot!" But Jenkins didn't acknowledge the compliment. Instead, he looked at Avery, jaw clenched behind his shrunken cheeks. "I'm going to kill them," he glared. "Every single one." "Anderson, Wick, Fasolt, clean up any wounded at the first station." Avery pulled his battle rifle's half-spent magazine and slotted a fresh one into place. "You want to kill them all?" he thought, sprinting after his retreating foes. "You're gonna have to be quicker than me."